It was bad, it was bad comp.
We all got sick.
Well, thanks. I was going to say it was bad company, but I tell you what, I remember that. I was so sick, and it was just absolutely awful. And the story that we're talking about is there is this malicious enemy that hates God, and he sows toxic weed in the farmer's field. Now, let me tell you something. Here's what the scholars say. This toxic weed, sometimes they call it darnel. Actually, they call it a false twin of wheat. It sort of mimics wheat. It looks a whole lot like wheat. And as we mentioned this morning, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. But if you consume that, it can actually, you'll get nauseated. But if you take too much of those black seeds, it can cause blindness. And if you take more than that, it actually can cause one to die. That's how toxic that weed is. And so the devil, the Bible says, which Jesus calls the evil one in Matthew 13, is the one who sows this toxic weed into the kingdom of God. Now let me tell you something. There's always going to be weed in the kingdom. Now that's important to understand, because remember the framework, the spiritual landscape of the kingdom. This is so, so very important for you to grasp, because when you don't, it can cause all kinds of problems. If you understand that the kingdom of God, that there's going to be weed and tares in the kingdom, then you can expect that and not be as disappointed. You see, when things happen to us and we don't understand it, that's when we get discouraged and really disappointed. And what Jesus is trying to do about this mystery of the kingdom of God is to reveal to us this is the way it's going to be. You're going to have some people never come in the church, but some of them are going to come in and leave. But while those who remain and stay, there's going to be some weeds. Amen. And when he says weeds, the interpretation, we'll read it in just a moment, but Jesus explains and gives the interpretation of the story, and he says the seed of the wicked one is evil children. They are the sons of the evil one. Now let's read that. I want you to see it. Now, while you're turning to Matthew chapter 13, let's do a few things here. In the first place, the story, and I know this is hard for some people to accept, but Jesus stresses, as a matter of fact, without going into any real depth, speaks of the reality of the devil. It's my judgment that if you're living the Christian life, you will encounter the devil. You will cross paths with the devil. The problem is we're just so many times unaware of it. We will not either admit or aware of the fact that we run into the devil. That's because our culture is so secular-minded. Now, if you lived centuries before, they'd have no problem with this. Or if you live in other parts of the world, they understand the spiritual reality on this planet. Now, the other thing I want to mention is this. Do you all see what I'm trying to say? If the devil appeared to us as the devil, by the way, now, do you see that? How many of you believe that that really looks like the devil? How many of you believe it looks like Hollywood's devil? I want you to understand that Hollywood's portrayal of the devil is probably not any close to reality at all. It would be my opinion that if you ran into the devil, he would look sort of like an old gentleman in the park feeding the pigeons. You wouldn't see horns, forked tails, in a fireman's uniform. The devil, if he appeared his man, and sometimes the angels would do that. Do y'all remember? I don't need to go all into that. But when the angels would appear unawares. So if you ran into the devil, most of the time you wouldn't even know it. Nor would you be afraid. But I'm stressing this point that Jesus stresses the reality of the devil who's behind this mess. The reason that the weeds are in the kingdom is because the devil planted those. Now keep this in mind. In Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 2, it says that the devil works through the sons of disobedience. The devil uses people. Now the image is weed, but he's talking about real people. He's talking about Satan's seed. Now, there's a lot to say there. But if you remember back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, you remember what God said in the very, very beginning. I will put enmity between her seed and your seed. When you go to Genesis chapter 4, you see that Cain is one of the sons of the devil. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, look in 1 John chapter 3 for just a moment, since I'm making this point. Now, as you're turning there, I just want to throw a few thoughts out to you. First John chapter 3. Now, not only does God and the Son of God take the devil seriously, and by that I mean, you notice that Jesus never makes light of the devil. He doesn't laugh about the devil. He doesn't make jokes about the devil. When Jesus speaks of the devil, he talks about you need to be vigilant and sober because you have an adversary who is vicious, who is malicious, and the only thing he wants to do is you to swallow that toxic seed. Now, this is challenging because we have a secular barrier. I don't want to be redundant, but there's a secular barrier even among our own believers that the devil is actually at work. Jesus desperately takes the devil seriously, and so should we. An enemy unseen is the most dangerous enemy. And the devil's not your friend. He wants you to be lost forever. It's surmising, but my guess is that since the devil is a hater of God, he hates everything that God values. Have you ever thought about this? If you were of no value, the devil wouldn't bother you. Do you notice that a homeless person, nobody robs him? Because he has nothing of value. Thieves break into places where they think they can get something. And you remember in John chapter 10, he talks about the thief and the murderer. He comes to kill and to steal. Now watch 1 John chapter 3 for just a moment. We'll not be too long tonight. I didn't hear a amen on that one. Don't you think the Bible is just absolutely a wonderful book? I've been studying this all my life, it seems now, and I feel like I'm just at the hem of the garment, even if I reach that part. But in 1 John chapter 3, I want you to see this seed business for a moment, because the devil has his children. Have you ever thought about that? While you're looking there, I'll give some scriptures that you're familiar with. You remember over in John chapter 8, Jesus is speaking of the scribes and the Pharisees, and he says, your father is not God, but your father is the devil. Now, what John is dealing with in 1 John 3 is there are people who are living a life of sin. When he talks about those who commit sin, he's talking about here's a person's lifestyle is just to practice sin. We're not talking about stumbling in sin or falling in sin, but here's a person whose lifestyle, whose manner of life is to be sinful. And so that's the problem in 1 John chapter 3, but let me read that if I can ever get over there. And let's read from verse 8, because I did mention Cain for just a moment. But if you look there, how many got 10 pages in their Bible? I'm reading in verse 8, I believe. He who sins is of the devil. Now, again, he's talking about the one who continues to live a life of sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning, going back to Genesis chapter 3. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever abides in him does not sin. The Greek is bringing out, you don't practice sin. The man who practices sin belongs to the devil. Now, he goes further and says in verse 9, whosoever has been born of God does not sin, and his seed, there's that word we're looking for, and his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin or does not continue to sin. Now, I'll say this just for... if you read the first chapter, the man who denies he sins, of course, denies the truth of God, right? If we say we have no sin, then we make God a liar, because God said you do sin. So when he says you cannot sin, in this particular verse, he's talking about the person who is a Christian does not practice sin. He does not continue to sin. That's John's particular point. Y'all with me on that? Okay. Now, in verse 10, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest or made known. Whosoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor who does not love his neighbor. Did you catch those two things? When we talk about the problem of wheat and weed, the difficulty is discernment. It's hard to know who is a hypocrite, because a hypocrite looks like the real thing. Let me say this about hypocrites. At the core of a hypocrite is a person who pretends to be something. Now remember, it's important that you understand, we're not talking about someone that just fails or someone that, has some problems. We're not talking about that. Y'all with me, Bill, on that? At the core of a hypocrite is pretense. He pretends to be something he's not. It's my judgment that most people in the church are not hypocrites. There may be some. Probably the problem with the folks in the church sometimes is they're not deeply committed. They got, they're distracted in other things, and they're not focused and determined and committed to live the Christian life. That does not mean there isn't hypocrites in the church. One other point on a hypocrite. I hear sometimes that people say, well, I'm not going to be part of the church because there's hypocrites there. You ever hear that? Everybody has. Well, just let me ask you something. You mean that you're going to decide to go to hell because there's hypocrites in the church? Well, let me do that. That was a little fast. You're going to decide to be lost, burn in hell, because there's a hypocrite in the church. Now, I just think that's a big lie, don't you? Because you'll go to work if there's a hypocrite in the church. Well, I'm not going to work because there's hypocrites in there. Hello? You mean you're going to decide to be lost because we need to think on that one. Man, I'll tell you what, if there was a whole row of hypocrites here, I'm still sticking around because I'm going to go to heaven. All right. So, yeah, I understand that. And yeah, is it disturbing? Yeah. Yeah, I got that. I got that. So, here though, watch it here. Now, I do think it's important, and I won't get into this tonight, but I do think we need to think more about practicing righteousness. That's the positive side. Practicing, putting into practice righteousness. The way you can tell a Christian if he's been born again, at least externally, is by the fruit he bears. How do you know a person has love? By what he demonstrates. 1 John 3, love not in word only, but love in word and. So how do you know a person loves? Because of what he does. How do you know a man has faith? By his word. So you put righteousness into practice. Pure religion and undefiled is to visit the fathers, you know, and the orphans, and keep thou safe unspotted from the world. That's real religion. So what does that mean? Well, at least one part of it is you help the poor. I mean, that's what he says. Those people who are in need, you respond to that. That's practicing. Right? Or if we went to Galatians 5 and you talk about the fruits of the Spirit, those fruits you ought to be doing. Now, does that just happen? No. You have to, you got to know what it is, and you start practicing them. Does that make sense? You put into practice. Be ye not hearers of the word only, but be ye doers of the word. So that's how you know, at least externally. You can tell a tree by its fruit. And so when you look at Christian life, are they practicing? Now, the problem today is America's bought into thinking that all you have to do is hear. See? So the man who is of God, who is the seed of God, remember Jesus planted seed, which is his children. And his children practice righteousness. Now, if the brotherhood would buy into this, it would change the brotherhood. Don't you think? So let's keep in mind that on the one side, a child of God does not practice sin. But he practiced righteousness. But there are people sometimes you just don't know. And that's why I mentioned today, you know, you can get a guy that looks like he's doing the thing, but he's not doing it for the right reason. He's just pretending. And the Pharisees were professionals at it. They would stand in the corners of the street, pray, and I bet those prayers were something else. That was a good prayer. So God looks at the intent and the motive. And by the way, how many understand that the devil's a person? Because when you go through the Bible, he thinks you. His thoughts are revealed to us, especially in the book of Job. He speaks. He talks. We see the intents. We see his character. And so the devil's a real person, and he's put bad people in the kingdom to ruin the kingdom. Have you ever noticed, I didn't read this other verse, I better do it. Now Cain, who was of the wicked one, see, 1 Genesis 4. Because why? Remember we talked in John 8, that the devil is a murderer and a liar from the beginning. Well, let me tell you, what did Cain do? Same thing. He murdered his brother and he lied. I don't know where Cain is, or Abel. Now, go over to Acts 13 for just a moment. Paul was over in Cyprus. Patmos is a big place over there. And he runs into what the Bible calls a sorcerer, Elymas, and it's about verse 10, I think. And it says over here, now, of course, Paul was talking to a fellow also by the name of Paul, or rather Saul was called Paul. He's talking to, I think it's Paulus. Yeah, Paulus. And he says in verse 9, or verse 8, but Elymas, the sorcerer, for his soul name is translated, withstood them, that is Paul and the missionary, speaking and turned to the proconsul away from the faith. So what's he trying to do? He's trying to turn the proconsul, Paulus, from the faith. Because he's of the evil one. But watch what happens here. Then Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. And he said, oh, full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil. The devil has his sons. He has his children. And did you ever notice every time you read the Bible, that when God plants somebody, the devil's planting somebody too. Now, remember, we're getting the framework, the spiritual. Every time, you see, but I want you to understand, every time you try to do something, the devil's going to have someone to try not you to do it. Isn't that true? So not only, you have two sowers. One is sowing good seed, which is children of the kingdom. At the very same time, the devil is sowing seed, wicked people. And I think too, let me just say this, and then I'll read the verse and let you go. But let me say this. This is just me making some kind of conjecture. I think the devil uses wicked people who are violent and ungodly and evil. No question. But I think he also uses people who don't know that they're being used by him. And that's kind of dangerous. Because you see, let's burn the field down. Let's pull out the weeds. Let's, you know, call fire down from heaven and burn the place down. See, that's what they wanted to do. And they thought that was the right thing to do. And Jesus said, I didn't come to do that. I came to save. And the problem of pulling weeds is, remember, the weeds get entangled with in that root system. I'll tell you a story. I guess it's not too bad on myself. And I'm not a guy that can. I'll be honest with you. I have a hard time telling a flower from a weed. Marcia knows all the flowers. I don't even know what a dandelion is. So Elwood wanted me to mow his grass one day, and he had a riding mower, so that wasn't too bad. And it was over in Bigler, Pennsylvania, former place of presidents, no. Well, he just had a little blueberry bush there. looked to me like, you know, there was no berries on it. I just run the thing right over. Didn't mean to, but see, if you start doing some dumb stuff, you can do more damage than you ever intended to do. And Jesus said, don't do that. I'll take care of it. So let me read the verse, and then as I promised, we can go home. Now this is Matthew 13, just so you know that this is what we were talking about tonight. We'll just try to finish up. Now again, this is in Matthew the 13th chapter, verse 38. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. That's you. But the tares, this toxic weed, is of the wicked one. He identifies the wicked one as the enemy who sowed is the devil. And the harvest is at the end of the age. That's when God is going to make the final separation. What is it? Goats on the left, sheep on the right? And I'll tell you something, a lot of people don't take that serious, and we ought to. We ought to take it serious, and we ought to look at it as eventually this will certainly come to pass. And so we live the life that God wants us to live. We don't practice sin, but we practice righteousness. But we're also aware of the framework. Now, let me real quickly say, because, yeah, when weeds are in the kingdom or in your family, that's tough. It's discouraging. Anybody have any black sheep? I mean, it is tough, it's hard, it's difficult, it's discouraging. And if you let it get to you, now, if you know the framework, you know the spiritual landscape of the kingdom, you know this is what it's going to be. Not everybody. When you understand that, you can deal with it a whole lot better. Will there be fights in the church sometimes? Because there's weeds. If you're not careful, will you get entangled with the weeds? Yes. If you let yourself get pulled into that, yes. So when you understand, see, and when they go out, they were going to see all kinds of problems. And she said, I want you to understand that's going to be that way. And then you can hang in there because, see, you can look down the road and say, there's a harvest coming. All right. I hope that's helpful to you. You might be here tonight and you need to respond in some way. If you do, we hope that you'll come as we stand and sing.